We've learned over the last few Mishnayos, although in general, if somebody violates multiple different prohibitions, then even if he didn't become aware about the prohibition in between violating each one, he would still be liable to bring a korban per each prohibition, since the prohibitions aren't essentially related to each other, and the violation of each one requires him to bring a korban in order to atone for that sin. However, there is a concept called Ein Isur Chalal Isur, which means that if something, a particular act or item, is forbidden by one prohibition already, and then a new prohibition, a new reason why that action should be forbidden is introduced, one is not going to be liable to bring a korban for the second prohibition which arrived. Rather, he would only bring a korban for having violated the first prohibition which existed. That having been said, there are two or really three exceptions to this rule of Ein Isur Chalal Isur. One exception is if the second prohibition is an Isur Kolel, which means that it includes more items or more people. One of the examples we saw was the chelev, the forbidden fats of an animal which one may not eat. If there is a piece of chelev of a korban, so it's forbidden to eat that, if somebody becomes tomei, they are now forbidden to eat that piece of chelev, but not only are they forbidden to eat that, they're forbidden to eat any meat of a korban. So since that second prohibition includes all of the meat of a korban, not just the chelev, it's considered to be an Isur Kolel, which includes more items, other parts of the korban, and therefore, just like if he ate a different part of the korban, he would be liable to bring a korban, so too if he eats the chelev, he would be liable to bring a second korban for that second prohibition. Another exception to the rule of Ein Isur Chalal Isur is if the second prohibition is Isur Moisif, which means that it doesn't add other items to be forbidden, or other people, rather it forbids that same item or action, it adds on an additional, more extensive prohibition on that same item. For example, the chelev, the fats of an animal, are forbidden to be eaten whether the animal is designated to be a korban or even if it's a regular animal. So as soon as the animal is born, that prohibition exists to eat the chelev of the animal. When that animal is designated to be a korban, if somebody now eats the chelev of that animal, they're benefiting from something which has been designated to the Beis HaMikdash for their own use, and that's forbidden. Now, that is an Isur Moisif. Why? Because until now, until the animal was designated as a korban, it was only forbidden to eat the chelev. Now it's forbidden to even benefit from the chelev. So that same item becomes more forbidden, and that is an example of an Isur Moisif. A third exception is really more escaping the problem, and that is if both prohibitions begin and are introduced at exactly the same time. For example, if Yom Kippur falls on a Shabbos, it's forbidden to carry anything from private domain to a public domain on Shabbos, and it's also forbidden to do so on Yom Kippur. Now, if somebody does carry on Yom Kippur which falls on a Shabbos, they'll be liable to bring two korbanos, because both those prohibitions began at exactly the same time, at the beginning of the day. Shabbos came in at exactly the same time as Yom Kippur began. And therefore the prohibition of carrying on Shabbos and the prohibition of carrying on Yom Kippur began at exactly the same time. So therefore both of them would apply, and that's really a way of escaping the whole concept of Ein Isur Chalal Isur, that if there was already a prohibition which existed, then the second prohibition will not make him liable to bring an additional korban. It should be noted that this concept of Ein Isur Chalal Isur applies to other punishments like Malkus as well. If somebody violates prohibitions on purpose, in general the punishment is that he gets lashed, and this concept of Ein Isur Chalal Isur would mean that he only gets lashed one set of lashes, unless, of course, the second prohibition is an Isur Moisif or an Isur Kolel. Says the Mishnah Habal Chamoisai, it's possible for somebody to have relations with his mother-in-law, and he'll be liable to many korbanos for that one act of having relations with her, because that woman, in a particular scenario, can be related to her in many different ways, due to previously forbidden relations of his family members. And the Gemara explains what the exact scenario is, but it's possible for those relations to be forbidden for that person for many different reasons, and each of those would make him liable to an additional korban because each one is either an Isur Moisif or an Isur Kolel. Chayav Aleha Mishum Chamoisai, he will be liable for having relations with his mother-in-law, V'chalosai, that woman is also considered to be her daughter-in-law, V'achis Ishtai, his wife's sister, V'eshes Achiv, his brother's wife, V'eshes Achi Oviv, his father's brother's wife, V'eshes Ish, she's also a married woman, V'nida, and she is impure, she is Tomei as a Nida. Those are all different reasons for why it's forbidden to have relations with this particular woman in the scenario which the Gemara describes. And it will be liable to multiple korbanos chatos, in that particular scenario. And likewise, v'chenabal im chamoisoy v'al im chomiv, there is a situation where somebody can have relations with their mother-in-law's mother, or their mother, or their father-in-law's mother, and also be liable to these seven korbanos chatos in total, because of the seven different prohibitions which are involved in those relations. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Omer Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says there's a situation where habal chamoisoy, one can have relation, one, if somebody had relations with their mother-in-law, in a particular scenario, that mother-in-law is not only his mother-in-law, but chayv alehel mishum chamoisoy, v'im chamoisoy v'im chomiv. He will be liable to bring three korbanos chatos, because that woman is both his mother-in-law, and his mother-in-law's mother, and his father-in-law's mother. And all of these scenarios come about from his family members, or him, having had children with their close relatives, and that's how one's mother-in-law can also be considered his mother-in-law's mother. The Gemara describes the exact scenarios. Now, Omru Loi, the Chachom said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, in this case where the woman is related to him by being both his mother-in-law and his mother-in-law's mother and his father-in-law's mother, Shaloshtan Shem Echod Hein, those three prohibitions are considered like one category, meaning they are all prohibited in the same posuk. The way that the Torah forbids it is by saying that one cannot have relations with a woman and her daughter or granddaughter. A mother-in-law is obviously the mother of the woman he had relations with, so if he has relations with her, that would it would come out that he's had relations with a woman and her daughter, a woman and her mother, that's the same thing. And since they're all prohibited in the same pasuk, it's considered to be like one category, and although he has violated three prohibitions, in terms of how many korbanos he would need to bring, that is only one korban chatos. Mishnah Zayin. Omar Rabbi Akiva said, Sha'alti Rabban Gamliel ves Rabbi Yeshua. I asked Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, Bo itlis shel emo'im, in the meat market of emo'im. That's the name of a place. Shehol chulikach b'im al-mishnah v'nei shel Rabban Gamliel. They were in that meat market because they were buying an animal for the feast of Rabban Gamliel's son's wedding. So that they would have meat. Either way, I met them over there and I asked them the following question. Habo alachis av alachis ov alachis imo'i. One who has relations with a woman who is related to him and considered both his sister and his father's sister and his mother's sister. Again, the Gemara paints how exactly that scenario can be created. Behelem echad, in one period of unawareness. In this case, that means that he didn't know that it was forbidden to have relations with that woman. Mahu, what is the halacha in terms of how many korbanos he would be obligated to bring? And the Mishnah elaborates on the question, is he liable to one korban for all of those prohibitions, since at the end of the day it's only one woman that he had relations with, or is he liable to a korban for each one of those prohibitions? And the Chachom said to me, the Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua answered me, we haven't heard what the exact law is in this case, Aval Shomanu, but we have heard the following law in a slightly different case, Habal Chomich Nosh of Nidais. One who has relations with his five wives, in those days was permitted to have more than one wife, and all five of them were impure, they were tome as a nida. And as we have seen, it's forbidden to have relations with a woman who is impure as a nida. He had relations five times with these five women, behelem echad, in one period of being unaware. He didn't realize at any point in between having relations with one woman and the other that what he was doing was forbidden. For example, he didn't know it was forbidden to have relations with a woman who is a nidah, and he only found out after he'd had relations five times with these five women who are all considered a nidah. The halach in such a case, we heard, is shu chayel kol achas v'achas, he is liable to bring a korban for each one of those prohibitions that he violated, v'yoyin onu, and we see from our own logic, we can deduce from this law, shadvorim kal v'chomer, that the matter is all the more so. All the more so in this case, where one had relations with one woman who is related to him in three different ways, and thus there are three different prohibitions involved in the relations that he's having, all the more so he'd be liable to bring three different korbanos. Because in the case we just cited, although he had relations five times, it's at the end of the day the same prohibition, and didn't find out at any point that it's forbidden to have relations with a nidah. And therefore, in general, if one doesn't find out in between doing the same Aveira multiple times, it's considered to be like one extended Aveira, one extended sin, for which he's liable to only one korban chatos. Just what? Since they're five different women, so he's actually liable to five different korbanos. But still, it's exactly the same prohibition, which he did five times. So if over there he's liable to five different korbanos for each prohibition, all the more so in this case, although it was only one woman, there were three different prohibitions involved. So all the more so he should be liable to three different korbanos for that act of relations. Mishnah Ches, V'ayich on Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva furthermore asked Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua on that occasion when he met them, the following question, which is not really related to the Masechta, but since it was asked on the same occasion, the Mishnah brings it over here. The law is that a limb which separates either from an alive person or an alive animal, if it's an entire limb which separates from the body, it has the same status in regards to impurity and tumah as a dead person or a dead animal. The question of Rabbi Akiva was Avraham Adulgal Babahema, a limb which is dangling off of an animal. It's almost totally separated, but it's still connected very slightly to the animal's body. The question is, because it's vastly come off, is that considered to be like a limb which is separated from the animal, which, just like a dead animal, it would be a source of impurity? If somebody touches it or carries it, he would become impure. Or do we say, no, since at the end of the day it's still connected slightly, it hasn't totally separated from the body, it's considered like part of the alive animal, and therefore it's not a source of impurity at all. Omrulai, Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua answered Rabbi Akiva, Le Shamanu. We have not heard what the law is in such a case, Aval Shamanu, but we have heard a similar case and what the law is in that case. But Abraham Adulul Ba'odom, regarding a limb which is dangling off of a human being, Shehu Tahar, the status of that limb is that it's pure, because it has not totally separated from the animal, from the human being. And indeed, Shekachoyu Mukhe Shechin Shebirushalayim Oisin, those who were Mukhe Shechin in Yerushalayim would have the following practice. Mukhe Shechin were people who were diseased with something which would cause their body to decay and even disintegrate to the extent that some of their limbs would actually fall off. And their practice was that they would go just before Pesach to the doctor, the choyschoy, and the doctor would cut off the dangling limb, but he wouldn't separate it totally. Ad shumaniach boikis oira. He would cut it until it's connected to the body just by a tiny amount of skin the size of a barley corn, the toichav besira, and he would use a thorn to attach the piece of skin, or the limb, to attach that to a wall, v'hunim shachomenu, and he would jolt back from the wall so that the limb would come off. And they would do this just before Pesach, v'halo is a pischoy, and this person who had this disease and whose limb had just come off would go and bring a korban Pesach and eat it that very same day, or a day after that, and the doctor would also go and bring the korban Pesach, which is a proof that they did not become tomei, they did not become impure from carrying out this procedure. So that's a proof that as long as the limb was slightly attached to the person's body, it was not yet considered to be a source of impurity. Only once it came off, and by that time the limb didn't touch the person, and therefore they would both be pure. The Reim Anu and Seiram and Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, we can see and deduce from this, using our own logic, that in your case which you asked us about, of a limb which is dangling off of an animal, Shadvarim Kal V'Chomer, that the same law would apply all the more so, because the impurity of a human being is much more severe and stricter and of a higher form than the impurity of an animal. So if a limb which is dangling off of a person is not a source of impurity, then all the more so a limb dangling off of an animal will not be a source of impurity. Mishnah Tes. The Mishnah brings the third and final question which Rabbi Akiva asked on Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. And this is actually more related to the topic of our perek and our Masechta. V'ojj on Rabbi Akiva furthermore asked from Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Sheichet chamisha zvorim bachutz. One who slaughters five different korbanos sacrifices outside of the Beis HaMikdosh. This is forbidden, and if he does so by mistake, he will be obligated to bring a korban chatos. And he did these five prohibited acts, behelem echad, in one period of being unaware. He didn't find out in the middle or anything that what he was doing was forbidden. Mahu, what is the halacha? What is the law in such a case? Chayv achas al kulam. Is he liable to one korban for all of those acts which were forbidden, since he essentially did exactly the same act, which was prohibited by exactly the same prohibition, five times? So is that only one liability of a korban, or is he liable to a korban for each and every animal that he slaughtered? Omulai, they said back to Rabbi Akiva, Lo shamanu, we have not heard what the law is in this exact case. However, Om Rabbi Yeshua said, Shomati, that I have heard the following scenario and what the law is in that case. the one who eats from one carbon in a case where it's forbidden to eat from the carbon. This would make him liable to bring a carbon for benefiting from something designated towards the Beis HaMikdash, or a carbon, for his own use in a case where it's forbidden. This would make him liable to bring a carbon. Now, this person ate the meat of one carbon, but he ate five different pieces of it, b'chamishat hamchuyim, on five different serving dishes or plates from which they would eat, b'helem echad, in one period of being unaware. And each of those five portions was at least the size of an olive, which is the minimum size to be liable to bring a carbon for. So if he ate five portions of the same carbon, so he violated the same prohibition five times, just that he ate it as five separate portions, and the meat was cooked in a slightly different way each time. Once it was roasted, then it was cooked in a different way. Because of that slight difference, it's enough shu chayal kol echad ve'echad mishum me'ila, that he'll be liable to bring a carbon for each of those five times, for having benefited from something which has been designated as a carbon. V'raya ani, and I can see, I can deduce from this, shadvarim kal v'chomer, that this will be the case all the more so in the case that you asked me about, where somebody slaughtered an animal outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and he did that to five different animals. Because over here, he's liable to five different carbonos, even though he ate five portions of exactly the same animal. Over there, he slaughtered five different animals. So each of those acts are considered to be more separated, and therefore he will be liable to five different carbonos. Om Rabbi Shimon said that loikash on Rabbi Akiva. This was definitely not the question that Rabbi Akiva asked. Because if it was, then you definitely can't bring me a proof from a case where somebody eats five different portions of carbon meat. Because over there, he's benefiting from each additional portion that he's eating, and each bit that he eats, he's benefiting a bit more. So there I can definitely understand why he would be liable to five different carbonos. Each time that he ate, he's adding on more benefit. It's considered something new, whereas in the case where he slaughters an animal five times, he's not deriving any more benefit from the fact that he slaughtered another four animals. So who said that over there you're going to be liable to five different carbonos? Rather, if it's true that that's what Rabbi Yeshua answered, it must be that Rabbi Akiva was talking about a different case. He wanted to know, what is the law when somebody eats noisar, which is the meat of a carbon which has been left past its deadline for eating it? So if somebody eats it now, he would be liable to a carbon for doing so. And he ate a portion of noisar, five different portions, which came from five different carbonos. And in this case, Rabbi Akiva wanted to know, is he liable to just one carbon for all of those prohibited acts? Or is he liable to a new carbon for each one? Omuloi. And on this, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua said to him, Lo shamanu, we haven't heard what the law is in this case. And Om Rabbi Yeshua answered that, Shomati ba'ichom zavachecha b'chamishot tamchuyim behelam echad. I heard regarding somebody who eats five portions of the same animal, the same carbon, five portions which were cooked in a slightly different way and brought to him on a different plate, behelam echad, in one period of not being aware, that in that case, he's liable to an additional carbon for each one, for having benefited from something which has been designated as a carbon. And I can learn from there, that all the more so in this case, where you ate five portions of noisar, meat which had been left past its deadline, from five different animals, that all the more so in that case, you would be liable to five separate carbonos. That's what Rabbi Yeshua answered. And Omar Rabbi Akiva said, Im halacha, if you're telling me a tradition that you received from your teachers, Nekabel, then we'll accept it, even though I think differently logically, because you received it from your teachers, from your Rebbeim, I'm going to accept it, we are going to accept it. But Ve'im Lodin, if you're saying this because of your logic and you derive this kal v'chomer, this argument of all the more so, then yes teshuva, then there's a logical answer to refute your argument. Amaloi, Rabbi Yeshua said to Rabbi Akiva, Hashiv, go on, answer me. Amaloi, so Rabbi Akiva said to him, Loi, no, you cannot compare one who ate five portions of noisar, leftover meat, which had been left past its deadline, from five different animals. You can't learn that you're liable to five different carbonos from the fact that you're liable to five different carbonos in a case where somebody ate five portions of the same animal. Because in the case where somebody ate five portions of the same animal, the prohibition under discussion is the prohibition of benefiting from something which has been designated towards the Beis HaMikdash, or as a carbon. That's considered a very severe prohibition, much more severe than eating leftover meat. or the Korban. So maybe it's specifically in that, regarding that severe prohibition of benefiting from something designated as a Korban, that you're going to be liable to more Korbanos. But in the case of a more lenient prohibition, like eating Noisar, maybe not. And now he explains where we see that the prohibition of benefiting from something designated as a Korban is more severe. Shekain, or Magdabim Ilah, if you say that regarding the prohibition of benefiting from something which is a Korban, that you're liable to multiple Korbanos, okay, there's a stringency in that prohibition, that even somebody who gives the food of the meat of the Korban to somebody for him to eat it, but he himself didn't eat it. The halacha is that the one who gave it to the person to eat violates this prohibition, as if he himself had eaten it. The one who causes somebody else to benefit from it, he himself violates the prohibition. An additional stringency which we see is that half violations of this prohibition can combine even over a long time. For example, if somebody benefits from a very small amount of that which has been designated towards the Beis HaMikdash, not enough to make him liable, only half of the minimum size, or half of the minimum value, and then a few months later he benefits from another such item, and again only half the minimum amount. Both of those actions and benefits would combine to make him liable. We see all of these prohibitions, all of these stringencies, which apply to that prohibition. Okay, so over there, the law is that you'll be liable to multiple korbanos, but you can't prove from there to remember Nesar. You can prove from there to a case of eating leftover meat of a korban, she'im ech mikol elo, that doesn't have any of these stringencies. You can't learn from a prohibition which is more strict that even in a less strict prohibition you'd be liable to multiple korbanos.